So let's be honest. When you came to church today, looking for inspiration, and then you saw that we gave you Deuteronomy 24, some of you were saying, like, what has that got to do with my life? Come on, anybody? Anyone? Maybe. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know you're thinking it. But this is a great text, and a great text not just for the people of Israel back in their time, but I think a great text that could shape our lives and make a difference in the way that we live in the 21st century. Did you hear the sort of the rhythm of that text? When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. Or when you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. Or when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. Leave a little bit. Leave a little bit. And why? What's the constant refrain? I left it off at the end of each of these verses. Here's the why, right? It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. This was Israel's call to be generous in the way that they lived their lives, in the way that they grew their crops. This was their call to be in social covenant with each other, especially those who did not have, those who were on the margins, those who were in greatest need, the vulnerable. This is Israel's call to be God's faithful people, and it was rooted not only in the care for the poor, right? But here's how it ends in verse 22. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. This call to care for the poor, to leave a generous margin in their vineyards, in the land, in their olive groves, it's all rooted in their call to remembrance that at one point in their history, the people of God had been enslaved and they had no choice. They were the vulnerable. They were the marginalized. They were the ones who were on the outskirts, depending on mercy just to live. And so here's a call now that they're in the land of plenty, now that they are in the land of promise, sort of like us, with so much. The call is to remember those on the edges, those on the margins. Make for yourself a generous margin so that it might bless someone else. Not bad words for us to listen to today. Us, we who live with such affluence, we who live with our fields full and branches flowing with olives and with grapes. If I were to quiz you and ask you, where do you see this practice come to life for you in a biblical story? There's a famous biblical story about gleaning in the fields, right? Anyone remember what it is? Come on, who? Who do we think of? Ruth. Ruth and Boaz, right? Good answer. So Ruth and her mother-in-law, they are trying to make it in the world together. They both are widowed. They're without sons. So they are just on their own. They are among God's most vulnerable, but they know that they can go into the fields and glean. And so they go into the fields of Boaz, and that's where Ruth meets Boaz, ends up marrying Boaz, and you know the rest of the story. Ruth becomes part of the family tree, not only of King David, but of Jesus as well. And it all goes back to this practice of gleaning and leaving a generous margin in the fields. This goes on even today there are many ministries that practice this. Gleaning. Any of you ever been part of one of those? Or any of yes, I see a couple hands. I've taken youth groups before down in Prince George's County, and there are farms that will allow you to come in and glean, and then those things can be donated to the local food pantry. So I remember a couple summers ago being with a bunch of youth in the hot summer, and we were picking kale. And we were finding the best kale that had been left. It had already been picked over, and now we were picking what was left over to be given away to some other folks that really needed, those who were really on the margins. The Society of St. Andrew is one of the more famous. Pennies for Potatoes was a longtime ministry of the United Methodist Men in our annual conference, and it was based on this ancient practice of gleaning the fields after the farmers had picked over the fields, going back into those fields and recovering what was still valuable and then sharing that with the poor. But I want to suggest that this image of creating a generous margin is even larger than our care for the poor. It certainly includes that. And it's even larger than our agricultural practices. It might even say something powerful about how you live your life on a day-to-day basis. About 15 years ago, I got introduced to this book by Richard Swenson. He's a doctor. He happens to be a Christian as well. And we were on a retreat with our church, and it was a whole church retreat, so we had adults and teenagers and kids that were there. We had stay-at-home moms, and we had people working in high-powered jobs in the government, and we had doctors, and we had teachers, and we had people working in banks, all kinds of people that were there. And when our presenter, Chris Costin, who had come to us from Minnesota, started talking about this book and the need for margin in our lives, she nailed us all. Every one of us paid attention because she was talking about us. He was talking about us in this book. He tells the story about the fact that people would come to him in all kinds of pain, their bodies broken down, and he realized that the real issue was not just physical, but it was what was happening overall, holistically, in their lives. So many people were coming to him in pain and in need of recuperation and treatment and medication because their lives were breaking down because of being overburdened, overstressed. He said the conditions of modern-day living devour margin. That's breathing space. That means having anything at the edges. If you're homeless, we direct you to a shelter. If you're penniless, we offer you food stamps. If you're breathless, we connect you to oxygen. But if you're marginless, we give you one more thing to do. Raise your hand if that feels like any of our lives, right? Just one more thing to do when we don't have time to do the things we're doing now. And he goes on to talk about the fact that we are overloaded. Some of this we bring on ourselves. Some of it's societal pressure. Some of it is material. We have more things per person than any other nation in history. And we are literally drowning in our stuff. Everything I own owns me, he says. Why would I want more? We must have some room to breathe. We must have some room to breathe. Our relationships are being starved to death by velocity, by the speed of our lives, by how much we are trying to pack in. And no wonder we are going to the doctor, he says. There's no margin. Marginless is the disease of the new millennium. Margin is its cure. Having this sacred space around the edges that makes room for us and then ultimately makes room for other people as well. Margin is the cure. So many of us live to the edge of our lives, whether it be financially or relationally or with our jobs or just with our calendars. How many of you have ever struggled like I have been doing recently? I've got a really good friend of mine. She's a pastor at a big church, and she's got not only local church responsibilities but national church responsibilities. I have been trying to have lunch with her. We've been friends for 20 years. Soul friends, helped each other through lots of stuff. We have been trying for months and months just to find a day when we can have lunch together. And my soul aches because it's mostly not my calendar. Mostly it's her calendar right now. She has so many commitments upon her. I've got a few myself. But she's got even more. And my soul aches for her because she's drowning. There's no margin in her life right now. It's not only her. I look around this congregation. I look around the people I talk to, the people who come in my office. And person after person in so many ways tells me there's no margin. I can't breathe. There's too much. I am stretched financially. You know, we do a pretty good job of that in this country, overextending ourselves financially, taking on debt. I think the average, about 75% of us in this country live paycheck to paycheck. There's not much margin. I think the average amount of credit card debt that we carry, because we're always pushing the limits, right, is about almost $6,000 in this country. And the people who can afford at least at the bottom, the ones on the margin, are the ones carrying the highest debt. Always feeling like we're just a step behind, trying to catch up in our personal lives and our financial lives. And the cure, Dr. Swenson says, is margin. The most important part of the paper is the margin, just this breathing space. The most important part of our lives is this breathing space that God offers us. Living with intention. No, I want to tell you this. The good news is margin is a possibility. It's a different way of living. The bad news is no one's going to give you any margin. No one's going to create it for you. I can guarantee you there's so much happening in the world, so much happening around us, that if you just let it all happen, you're not going to have any margin. That's just a reality. Living with a margin means living with intention. You have to draw boundaries. You have to sometimes say no, even to important things, even to the church at times. We're going to ask you to do things. You sometimes have to say, no, I can't take on one more commitment. And that's okay. I'm for you. I mean, I want you to protect your space. Because the reality is, if we overextend ourselves, there is nothing left of us to give to anybody else. Whether it be financial resources or whether it be personal time or whatever, if we are stretched so thin, if we're not good to ourselves, we can be not good for anybody else either. We have to care for our souls and care for ourselves so that there is breathing space. Say yes to the things that matter most. That means we're going to have to say no to some other things, whether it be consumption or whether it be choosing what we do with our money. There's an insert today, a pink one. I've got an orange one, but I think we gave you a pink one in your bulletins, or were handed one on your way into church today. And this is a take-home for you. This is a chance for you to be sort of intentional about what you think about your giving and your commitment to this church. There's some giving patterns on the front of that, of these steps that look like this. What's it mean to be invested in the life of this church? What does it mean to be intentional? And then on the back, there's a bunch of numbers just for you to sort of look at. How do I get from where I am to where I want to be? And does where I am say what I want it to say about my faithfulness? Am I willing to take one more step? You're not going to get there by accident. You're going to get there by intention. And you're going to get there by intentionally creating margin in the rest of your lives. Maybe it means saying no to some other things in order to say yes to what's important here at the church, or yes to what's important in other causes and other charities that you really believe in, the things you want to invest in. What I'm really saying is that we need to turn off the autopilot and live with intention. And the great gift that God offers us, the gift that is built into the rhythm of the 7 days of creation. What happens on that seventh day? God creates margin, a day of Sabbath rest. And friends, if we don't start to create some of that in our lives as well, to claim some boundaries, to create a little bit of margin, a generous margin that's generous to us, it will overflow with blessing for someone else too. We put our, that's really where that text comes down. That Deuteronomy text says we're going to do this for who? We're going to do it for the alien, the orphan, the widow. But at the end of that first verse, it says, and this will be, God will bless you in this. And I don't think that God, it's like a tit for tat. I think that it's a way of living that in itself makes room for blessing in our lives, and it makes room for blessing in someone else's life. So my prayer for all of you this week, myself included, is that you'll get out your day timers, you'll get out your checkbooks, you'll get out all of the stuff in your life this week and sort of take an inventory and ask yourself, is there something I can say no to so that I can say yes to what I really want to say yes to, including breathing space, including a holy margin in your life? Is there a generous margin by your intentional living so that you might be a blessing to someone else? Thanks be to God, and may God's grace get you there. Amen.